Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Often the voice of discontent among people can be heard in music.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn.
We gon' be all right. We gon' be all right.
And the Black Lives Matter movement is inspiring its own soundtrack.
And when I wake up, I recognize you're looking at me for the pay cut. Behind myself, be looking at you for the face down. We'll make 11 even.
The deaths of Michael Brown, Eric Garner, and Freddie Gray, among others, have created new protest songs, according to Renee Graham, who is an op-ed contributor to the Boston Globe, who joins us in studio right now. Welcome, Renee.
Hi, Deb.
Tell us about this song by Kendrick Lamar. You call this the street's answer to a song for a new civil rights movement?
There's always this sense when there's some sort of social turmoil that there should be a soundtrack to it. Mm. And suddenly this emerged as the song.
We've been hurt.
It's from Kendrick Lamar's album, To Pimp a Butterfly, which came out a few months ago. And it's a song called All Right. And very spontaneously, during a protest at Cleveland State, the activists started to chant, "We gonna be all right. We gonna be all right." It wasn't this organized thing. It wasn't like, okay, we're gonna sing this song. They just all sort of grasped the moment, and they ran with it. And now this has become the sound of the Black Lives Matter movement.
But there's been a little bit of criticism of this song as well.
There is criticism of the song. I mean, it speaks rather harshly about police brutality. It talks about police, you know, stop killing our brothers and sisters, stop killing black people. When he performed it at the BET Awards in June, you know, he performed it on top of a police car that was covered with graffiti and a big American flag in the back, and people thought it was almost too radical. But, you know, it's a difficult time, and I don't think he's trying to stir people up needlessly, but he's trying to make them wake up and pay attention.
So compare it to, say, a We Shall Overcome.
What's interesting about the two songs, and they're very different, you know, We Shall Overcome isn't a confrontational song in the way that All Right is. Mm-hmm. However, it still has that same idea that we're going to make it through this. We're going to survive. We're not saying it's going to happen today. We're not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. But ultimately, we shall overcome and sort of pull the thread through to we're going to be all right. That's the thing. It's uplift. It's always about the idea of finding sort of beauty from devastation, finding solace in chaos.
Hmm. I want to ask you something about what was posted on Instagram in December, and this was from Questlove, drummer for The Roots. He wrote, quote, "I urge and challenge musicians and artists alike to push themselves to be a voice of the times that we live in." Why was that something that needed to be said, do you think? Was there not enough of a response from the artistic community?
I don't think initially there wasn't. You know, if you think about it, you know, Eric Garner died in Staten Island last summer. Michael Brown died just about a little over a year ago now. And there was this sense that musicians should be responding. Something should be coming up. Something needed to be said. And so, you know, you instantly had these street protests, but you didn't get this sense that the artistic community was responding in kind. So I do think Questlove sort of, you know, threw down the gauntlet. He was challenging people to come up with something, to not just to motivate the people, but to sort of capture what was going on in song.
Then, of course, there was Prince, who held his Rally for Peace concert in Baltimore in May. And let's listen to a little bit of his music here.
Does anybody hear us pray for Michael Brown or Freddie Gray? Peace is more than the absence of war.
It's an interesting song. You know, Prince, you know, has had a long career. He's been around for 30 years. He sings about God. He sings about sex. He sings about relationships. He's never really done anything overtly political. So it was sort of interesting that he was so inspired by what happened to Freddie Gray in Baltimore that he felt the need to write a song and get it out there as quickly as possible. You know, it's an interesting song because, again, it's not confrontational. It's very upbeat. You know, let's get rid of the guns, let's love each other. But there's also the line, if there ain't no justice, then there ain't no peace. You know, so you do get that sort of spark at the end saying, you know, we've got work to do, we have things we need to take care of. So I thought it was interesting that Prince of all people was doing that.
If there ain't no justice, then there ain't no peace.
So is this music different from some of the older protest songs that we might think of? You know, how is it different? A lot of times we heard maybe the influence of the church or folk music or things like that. This seems to have a different way about it, if you will. How would you describe it?
You know, I think the music reflects what's going on. I think the reason why we heard a lot of protest music influenced by the church and by folk music in the 60s is because that was there. There were folk musicians. The church, I think, was still a big part of the black community and where a lot of the artists originally got their start. So I think it made sense that a lot of those songs almost sounded like, if you will, angry hymns. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the fact that, you know, you have hip-hop now and contemporary R&B, I think it makes sense. The music sounds like what people are doing now. I don't think people should expect a folk song to have the kind of impact, say, that Kendrick Lamar is having.
Hmm. You also mentioned jazz when you wrote about this, and you mentioned Terrence Blanchard's Breathless from the album of the same name. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
As we lament a muted scream to the heavens, we can't breathe.
You know, people don't always talk about it, but jazz musicians have always been at the forefront of protest.
We can breathe, breathe.
If you go back to the 60s, you think about the music of Max Roach and Abby Lincoln and Charles Mingus. They were always talking about the things that were going on, whether they were, you know, the Freedom Riders or the sit-ins or the marches that were going on in the South. You know, jazz music always plugged into that. So, I mean, I'm not surprised then that Terrence Blanchard's very much doing the same thing.
And of course, it's very different now. I mean, I think a lot of folks are making the comparison to the 60s and the music of the civil rights movement, but we've got social media now. It's not that difficult to immediately put something out there, if you will.
Social media changes everything in every way. A big part of that is that the fact that musicians don't have to wait now to get their music out. If you think back to, say, Marvin Gaye in the early 70s when he wanted to put out What's Going On, Berry Gordy wanted nothing to do with that album. He thought, we're not putting out protest music. And it sat on the shelf and the whole thing went on. Musicians don't have to do that anymore. Now you make a song, you record it, you put it on YouTube, you put it out on whatever social media platform you use, and you get it out there immediately. So I think that changes it. But I think it's a very urgent movement as well. And I think there's a sense that everything's changing every day, so you really can't sit around and wait to put your music out. You need to get it out there now.
Which, of course, has also meant that there are people who aren't very well known, even amateurs, right, releasing music and putting it out on social media.
Absolutely.
I read about and we have a clip, actually, of a song from the family of Eric Garner, and they actually use his voice in the beginning of this song. Let's listen. So I'm wondering, Renee Graham, are songs that are inspired by a movement or something that are part of a broader social issue that's going on at the time, are they judged differently?
They can be. You know, I think that when you're looking at some of the music that's coming out now, people aren't putting out dance music. They're not putting out music to hit the top 40. They're putting out music that is real and raw and heartfelt. And I think that's the judgment that people should, not whether or not it's a hit or not. I think that's sort of irrelevant. I don't know that you would call Kendrick Lamar's song a hit. He doesn't really make singles in the traditional sense. But he's made a song that people have connected to on a far deeper level than, say, the average Taylor Swift song.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I think that's a big part of this. I think that's where the best music comes from, when the people who are making it feel personally affected by what's going on. An example, go back 50 years to Sam Cooke's The Change Is Gonna Come.
I was born by the river in a little tent.
Two things influenced that song. One was he was denied a room in a hotel in Louisiana where he'd made a reservation, and that made him very upset. But he was also inspired by Bob Dylan's Blowing in the Wind. And he felt like, here is this white folk singer making this incredible song about racism in America. Why? How come I'm not writing those songs? And that pushed him to write that song. So I think it comes from all kinds of ways. And that song wasn't a hit when it first came out, but, you know, 50 years later, it still resonates.
It's been a long time coming. but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes, it will.
You know, a lot of these songs really have an intent to be expressive, but also to unite people around something, right? What would you say is the purpose?
I think that's the thing. If you go to a concert and there's an artist up there singing, and you look around and everyone is singing this song, and these people don't know each other, they don't have the same backgrounds, but suddenly they're united in song. There's something incredibly powerful and poignant about that. And so if you're at a protest and you have these people and you essentially are protesting, in favor or against the same thing, but you come from different backgrounds, and suddenly you have one voice, literally one voice. And I just think there's something really extraordinary about that. So, when you had the scene at Cleveland State and the activists and the students started chanting, "We gonna be all right," it was like this wave of emotion, this wave of the movement that suddenly was really tangible.
Is that the song of the movement, or is there a song of the Black Lives Matter movement?
I think that's the song of the moment. I think that because everything is just sort of getting started in a kind of a funny way. I mean, it's weird to say it's getting started when these things have really been going on for decades. But, this part of it is just getting started. Right now it's Kendrick Lamar. Next week it could be something else. A month from now it's going to be something beyond that. That's the thing. It's not like there's going to be one song for the movement. There are going to be many songs for the movement.
When someone is inspired to write a song like this, and when there's so much anger around the issues involved, and yet we're talking about a song that also has to be uplifting, so to help unite people, I mean, how do you think, or is there an example that you can think of where you feel that a musician has done a good job balancing all of that?
I don't think you have to balance it all. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it can just be a dispatch from the streets. It can be something like Marvin Gaye's Inner City Blues, "Make Me Wanna Holler."
Oh, make me wanna holler, the way they do my life. Yeah, make me wanna holler, the way they do my life. Oh, baby.
There's nothing uplifting about that song, but there's a great strength in feeling validated by what he's saying and saying, yes, I know exactly what he's talking about. I feel exactly what he's singing. So I think there's something to that. But then you have a song like, again, Kendrick Lamar's All Right, which does find the balance, because it's talking about police brutality. It's talking about all the problems that are going on. But he comes back with, "We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right." And there's something to that, that after he sort of unloaded all this stuff, he adds this idea, but don't worry, we're going to be all right. I think even if the song doesn't last, those four words will. I think that's going to be what's going to resonate for the movement.
Renee Graham, who is an op-ed contributor to the Boston Globe, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Deb.
We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR. Have a great weekend and join us again Monday for more Radio Boston. We'll go out now with a new protest song by Janelle Monáe.
Walter Scott, say his name.